This is Rebecca Lowe, or Rebecca Lua, if you listen to Suboptimal Radio, and you are listening to Men in Blazers on the NBC Sports Network.
It's unbelievable!
From the Embassy Row studios in the crap part of Soho, it's the Men in Blazers podcast, Rog.
Oh, the creme de la crap part of Soho, David.
It is the creme de la crap
feeling
part of Soho.
Feeling amazing this morning.
You are. What's going on?
I'm living my life by Jim Harper's philosophy.
Yep.
I'm attacking each day with enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Are you?
Not really.
Yeah, I didn't think you were.
But I keep repeating this tweet. I think it's amazing.
You're wearing a very natty three-piece suit today,
yeah.
Rog.
Going
I
somewhere
I've ever seen
smart
you.
Tonight.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Can't talk about it.
That's interesting. You're picking up some award that I don't know about.
But I'm also...
Man of the Year.
I'm also trying to emulate a couple of the well-dressed people who've been in our panic room in recent days.
I tell you, you said creme de la crap, and I was thinking we've been a bit cremmy recently. Last week, Manny Pacquiao, Rog, one world champion, comes to our panic room. We shot digital pieces with him. They're on NBCSports.com. Starting Thursday, go and find our piece with Manny there.
We broke down every great Premier League fight this season.
And almost fight.
He gave advice to almost everybody. Peter Crouch... Yeah. Arsene Wenger about how to hold up his guard.
Yeah, it was great.
The works.
Two things about Manny. One, he smelled unbelievably good.
He's got this incredible smell of sweetness, sweet, suave, but deeply masculine. The only person that has come close to offering up that scent, in my experience, is Bob Lee.
Yeah, very, very true.
And when I smelt it on Manny, I almost just started naturally to suckle.
And the second thing about Manny, Rog... He was properly obsessed with the oversized Scrabble board in my office.
Yep.
We got to remember to send him one of those Scrabble boards, J-Dubs.
He really wants one. You promised him one.
Yeah.
So you better have deliver. I don't fancy like the fronting kind of LA thing where you promise something and then never send it. One of them had better make its way to the Philippines.
Do you think when he plays Scrabble, he plays in Tagalog, the language of the Philippines, or in English?
Oh. I think he only spells one word over and over and over again.
Which is?
Mayweather.
Yeah, Floyd.
Mayweather.
Yeah.
Triple word score.
Yeah,
Mayweather.
That's a good one. You're not allowed a proper name, Roger. You're not allowed a proper... Actually, when you're playing against Manny, he's allowed anything.
Lewis Hamilton was fascinating.
Yeah, he came in last night. It was on the Men in Blazers show.
He talked about
another world champion.
I've thought a lot about him since he left.
Yeah.
He talked a lot about living a life without fear.
I know.
I live a life just full of fear. Maybe I've got my fear and his fear. All kind of on my shoulders.
Yeah. He's such a down-to-earth dude. He's like a normal guy who's obviously insanely competitive, has no fear whatsoever. But it's a different kind of athlete, a race driver, to go meet. I mean, he's sort of open and obviously has a lot of time in a car thinking about what he's doing and thinking about himself as a man. It's somewhat a reflective
like a UPS job. Delivery man.
I think a little bit more than that, but maybe similar.
Probably very similar, I should imagine. I'll tell you another person I found very reflective.
Yeah.
Dan Patrick.
Oh, Dan Patrick. We went and did the DP show, Rog, on Friday morning. He's our neighbour in the crap part of Soho.
Is that what it's called? The DP show?
Yeah, I think he calls it the DP show. The Dan Pat stands for Dan Patrick, Rog. Anyway, they're our neighbours in the CPOS. And I don't think he likes calling it the CPOS. I don't think he likes the crap part of Soho. I think it's the man cave for the DP show.
It's a block away from the panic room.
Yeah.
And honestly, you could fit the panic room into... He's got a little photo booth.
How many times do you think you could fit the panic room into the DP show studio?
About the number of times you could fit Santi Cazorla into Arsene Wenger's anorak.
About 1,000.
Probably.
I think it's more than 100 you could get the panic room into.
You do. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, just the start of that show.
Yeah.
I watched it.
Yeah.
For the first time, I watched the start, the credits to that show. Where they fly into Manhattan on a helicopter.
It's a big show.
If we had a show, we'd be coming in on the subway.
Yeah.
We'd be fumbling for change in our pockets, trying to put a little token in. They're flying in on a helicopter, Manhattan. We're kind of scrolling underground, trying to look in subway for someone who's left a sandwich behind and then eating it quickly and then running in here. It's just a different level of living, David.
Yeah.
Different way of operating.
It is.
But I've also had a psychic wound this week, David.
You have.
You need to help heal me.
Is this Everton's draw against West Bromwich Albion?
The draw that felt like a loss. It's not that. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
It's about... It came via a newspaper article. I often look for newspaper articles that sum up all that's good about England. And I found it this week because thousands and thousands of you listeners have tweeted it to me. It comes from Wigan Today. The headline is, "Drunk man tried to have sex with postbox in middle of shopping arcade." It made global news. Thank you, every JFOP, literally a couple of thousand of you. All you've tweeted to me this week are pictures of Sylvester Stallone in Everton jerseys,
yeah,
pictures of Justin
good.
Bieber in Everton jerseys, and this newspaper article. David, can you read a bit of it?
Well, the interesting thing is that Paul Bennett, Rog, 45, is this your long-lost twin?
He even looks like me, David. He's a bald man.
He was spotted walking towards the post box with his trousers down. That's British for pants. And making sexual advances towards it at Scholes Precinct in Wigan. He then rubbed himself against the post box while holding his hands in the air in a star position as he continued to expose himself while shouting, "Wow!" After completing the act. So was that a Star of David? I don't know what he's holding. I don't know what that star is, Rog. After completing the act, he pulled his trousers up and started swinging on a lamppost before looking at a reflection of himself in a window. He was arrested and launched into a foul-mouthed tirade, that sounds like you, against the arresting officers, Rog.
David, this article, it made global news. And my first feeling is, I mean, even the American media picked this one up from Wigan Today, which broke the news about Paul Bennett, a bald man, 45-year-old from Wigan. And I thought my first thought wasn't about
who
myself.
Who shouts, wow?
Wow. My first thought wasn't about myself because I like to think about global issues first. And I do remember there was a day, Davo, when England used to launch iron bottom ships, when we used to be the cradle of the Industrial Revolution, when we used to climb Everest before everybody else. Now we're just a nation of male device seducers.
Yeah, but every nation has its perverts, Rog, though. It's not just Britain.
And then amazing the fact that he was bald and that we share a last name, Bennett.
Yeah. And an age, pretty much.
And that he wobbled around with his trousers down shouting, wow.
Yeah.
Made many, many GFOPs think it was either me or a very close member of the Bennett family.
To be clear, though, don't create the impression that you're someone who wanders around with your trousers down a lot. There are lots of similarities. You don't need to add to that list wandering around with your trousers down. I've never seen you do that before, Rod.
David, you
may do that at home.
You know me well.
Yeah.
I don't have a thing for mailboxes. That's true. Anyone who listens to my other X-rated podcast, Toaster Oven Fetish Today, you know exactly where my predilections lie.
Yeah. Super Bowl set, Rog.
Gutted for Andrew Luck, mate.
Seattle, New England.
Gutted for the Packers, who went very, very Burnley.
Yeah.
With that 2-goal lead.
Yeah. Well, Green Bay, Wisconsin is a bit Burnley. It's almost the Burnley of the National Football League.
They've never produced a Chumbawamba, have they?
No, they haven't.
Who is Green Bay's Chumbawamba?
Yeah, but Tundra rhymes with Chumbawamba.
Yeah, that's fair. That's if you were a very bad hip-hop MC, you would probably try and get away with that.
Yeah.
But the one man I'm quite happy with and that I've fallen in love with now that Chuck Pagano has been smoked is Gronk.
Gronk! I love Gronk.
Yeah, we don't have people like Gronk in England. I'm back in.
Why didn't we call former Chelsea man Jesper Gronkaya
Gronk?
Gronk. He would have been much cooler if we'd called him Gronk.
And we're headed to Phoenix.
We are headed to Phoenix, going to the Super Bowl, Rog.
Yeah.
Or going for Super Bowl build-up week.
And Madden Bowl. If you are in the Phoenix area and are going to Madden Bowl, I think on Thursday night before the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Come down, give us a cuddle.
Yeah.
Also, we may watch a game.
Go to a bar.
We'd love to go to a bar if we knew
where
one was.
We may go to a pub and drink some alcohol.
If we knew for a little game called Chelsea City.
That's a big game, Rog.
Also, while we're talking about what we're going to be doing, David, February 5th, we're giving away the Golden Blazer.
Yeah, huge in New York City, Rog.
Live in New York, which will be throbbing that night. And I'm only bringing it up because those who didn't get tickets, because they went very, very quick, we're going to drink afterwards in a bar called the Brass Monkey, 55 Little West 12th Street from 9:30 onwards.
Have we announced yet who we're giving the Golden Blazer to, Rog?
If you listen to Men in Blazers, you'd know we never announce who we're giving it to until the minute.
Last year, we never announced. It was a complete surprise.
No, you and I were on the stage together.
Yeah.
And we gave it.
You know, I have the worst. I mean, this is revealed. Anybody who's new to this podcast, I do have the worst memory of all time.
David,
I don't remember not revealing it. I am such a goldfish.
Well, I've got to tell you.
Yeah.
As soon as that warm, macho, masculine, but sweet odour kind of wafted out of the green room.
Oh, everyone knew.
People knew, David.
Yeah, I think people knew when they saw the white stretch limo out on Lafayette Street, Rog, that it could only be one man who was getting it last year. All I'd say this year, it's a very different choice from last year's Golden Blazer.
But very similar in some ways.
Some ways very similar.
The Golden Blazer goes to someone who we think has done an unbelievably amazing job of growing the sport in this country.
Yeah.
It's going to be a gorgeous night. We've got a great cast of characters coming
in. And who will say yes. And who will come and get the Golden Blazer.
I've never had anyone say no.
That is true.
I've never had anyone say no. While we're talking about lovely things, can we just wish one of the GFOPs, we know Iron Robin of Bayern Munich,
loves the pod,
listens to this, hopefully coming on soon.
Yeah.
Iron, you were reportedly bitten by a crocodile while retrieving the ball from a lake during your team's training camp in Qatar. He's been left with a bandage around his heavily bruised thumb, middle and ring fingers.
Is that his dodgy flapper finger?
Yeah, the crocodile can do what no world defender can.
Yeah.
Catch Iron Robin's dodgy flapper.
Yeah. That's not easy.
England should
How
play
crazy.
Him.
Why would he be retrieving his ball from a lake filled with crocodiles in Qatar? God, I'm not taking him on my golf tour in Kew Island, South Carolina. He'll never make it out alive, Rog.
Get well soon, Iron.
Okay, we've got a packed show, Rog. We're going to break down Arsenal's very un-Arsenal-y win at City. Chelsea reasserting their dominance and their five-point lead at Swansea. We're going to discuss that. And all the latest goings on in an MLS and with the US men's national team. We issue a call for football-themed songs in our custom Stars and Strikes Xbox competition. And we welcome actor, writer and comedian John Glazer to the show.
Oh, Laird from Girls.
Yeah, exciting. In person, actually, Rog.
Yeah, can't wait.
Okay, to the football. Let's crack open the Guinness, Rog. Oh, this sounds so good with our new headphones, Rog. It's almost in 3D.
To attacking the day with enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
To plaid.
That's alien enthusiasm, Jim Harbour must be talking
about.
Wow,
that's so good. Okay, Rog, we are 22-38 of the way through the season. And in the staring contest that is the Premier League title race, City has blinked again. Man City 0, Arsenal 2. Let me repeat that, Rog. Manchester City 0, Arsenal 2.
Are you sure there's no stem missing on that zero? That should be a 6.
I know, it's just bizarre. The Citizens lose ground to Chelsea for the second straight week. Santi Cazorla started the scoring in the 24th minute after referee Mike Dean awarded a penalty for Vincent Kompany's off-the-ball challenge on Nacho Monreal. Frenchman Olivier Giroud added a second in the 67th minute, cueing dancing from Santi Cazorla, Rog. Extraordinary dancing. Arsenal escape the Etihad with all 3 points for the first time since October 1874. Oh, no, 2010.
The most stunning and unexpected transformation I've seen, David.
Yeah.
Since Olivia Newton-John at the end of Greece.
Very true.
Arsene Wenger's team, that would not have been more surprising, David, if they'd run out on that field in a pair of stiletto heels, drain pipes and a boob tube.
Yeah.
And then stubbed out a cigarette on the turf with their heel, saying, tell me about it, punk.
Yeah.
That would not have surprised me more than this 2-0 score.
So many surprising things, though, about what Arsenal did. And the fact that Arsene Wenger, years and years and years after refusing to show any tactical flexibility, never wanting to, you know, have a plan B, never even wanting to go from A to B, he does something quite different in this game. He sets up quite differently, Rog.
Well, we should say Arsenal like going to Manchester, a little bit in the same way as Ned Stark enjoyed his little trips to King's Landing. Seven visits, drawn 1, lost 6, conceded 20 goals, scored just 7 in the process. I don't know if you can remember, I can, the 5-1, 6-0, 6-3, bare bottom spankings they've suffered at the Etihad in recent years. And out they came here, playing very unexpected disciplined football, desperately protecting the area in front of their back four with Coquelin and Cazorla. In the same way, it was like watching someone try and suck in their stomach when a photograph's being taken of you and then playing on the counter. And the star of it was Coquelin, Francis Coquelin, 23 years old, wearing number 34. And it was a Walter Payne-esque kind of performance. He's been at the club since 2008. That's the shocking thing about this. Ira Boudaway, the great writer and great friend of the pod who followed us for Business Week and who's the only Ira I've ever met who's not a Jewish Ira, He calls him Francis, like a new signing, Coquelin. David, what has happened to him since he's been recalled from loan?
Well, I wonder. Look, he's still in his mid-20s. He's still a you know, a young guy, but probably reaching that age when he's either going to make it or break it, either going to do it or not do it as a professional. You know, as recently, less than 50 days ago, he was playing in the Championship at Charlton, Rog. You know, our producer, JW, just returned from watching Championship football. I think he saw Charlton play Ipswich in England. And it's like primitive football. It's nothing like the football played at the Etihad or played at the Emirates. But it does toughen a man up. It toughens a guy. And it was just the kind of midfield, holding midfield, defensive midfield performance that we've been screaming out for years.
Screaming, where has this Arsenal been for the last five seasons? Since he's come back, Arsenal have won 6, lost 1 and drawn 1. But the beginning was tight. It was super tight. It was tighter than Santi Cazorla's jersey. City tried to impose themselves, but they couldn't get a newly fit Kun Aguero into the game. And then Vincent Kompany set that pick, Davo. It's like watching Charles Oakley in his days of yore with the Knicks.
Yeah. I mean, it's a foul. Let's face it. It was a foul, but it's a penalty that you don't, I would say, you see that given 50-50.
Arsene Wenger said it was very generous.
I think you see it given 50-50.
But I'll say about Kompany, there's few players who are coasting more off their reputation than on their current play right now in the Premier League.
Yeah. Yeah, we've talked about that before. He's not having a great season. Man City, though, they had plenty of possession. They had 16 corners in the game, Rog.
Yep.
But barely any shots. Navas gave the ball away 36 times in this game, or lost possession 36 times in the game. It was just very, very bitty. Very just
scrappy. Yeah, I mean, the key in
scrappy.
This Kiss game was the absence of Yaya Touré and the inability of David Silva to really try and impose his ideas on the game. Fernando and Fernandinho, they were kind of, it was like watching thing one and thing two in midfield. They were really overrun at times. And without Yaya, City have had 3 draws and 1 loss. He's a huge gaping hole in that midfield. It even cried out for the injured Samir Nasri. I spent a lot of the game wondering how far up the Manchester City midfield depth chart Mix Diskerud must be creeping up for parent Kompany. But once they got the penalty, which Santi Cazorla converted with a flourish, the game became about that jolly little man. He's such a delight to watch. Not only is he inventive, but he loves to put a foot in. He loves to tackle. I got to say, if I ever do get a neck tattoo, Davo, and I've been watching Eduardo Vargas of QPR with his Michael Jordan Jumpman, I'd probably get a Santi Cazorla.
Yeah.
One of him chuckling in his tight little Arsenal top that's kind of clingy around the nipples, but still very jelly belly down below. I think he's a fantastic footballer. And this game was really all about him, David. But at 1-0, I loved it. When they came, the cameras went on Arsene Wenger. And you could see he was trying to, in his head, he was trying to work out how he was meant to act. Because he, in all the eventualities he probably planned for that day, going 1-0 up and even Arsenal winning, that was probably not a bit of a shock scenario for him. Like Debbie Gibson, it was only in his dreams. What were you feeling as a Chelsea fan at halftime? Living and dying as an Arsenal fan for 90 minutes?
It's difficult for me because, yes, technically, I suppose, for Chelsea, as a Chelsea fan, I wanted Arsenal to go and win the game. Very difficult for me also to ever cheer for Arsenal. It's the one team in the Premier League I find it difficult to cheer for. And yet, weirdly, I enjoy watching Arsenal play good football. And the football I most enjoy watching is football which is a bit tougher in the tackle, which is a bit harder working. And Arsenal were doing that. I was very impressed also with Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain in this game. Incisive, fast, quick. He seems inspired by, he's actually said it, by Alexis Sanchez, by playing with Santi Cazorla, with these kind of aggressive, competitive footballers around him. And I just thought that there were points at which it wasn't about the result, it wasn't about what was going on. It was really just enjoying Arsenal playing great Premier League football.
I mean, when they came out for the second half, City were definitely rejuvenated. Jovetic replaced Milner in an effort to try and get Kun Aguero a little bit more into the game. But ultimately, and I think Alanis Morissette would say this was ironic, City were very, very Arsenal-y. They had all of the possession, but none of the ability to conjure really good chances on goal. They've spent so much money. This is what I don't understand about City. They've spent so much money on Boney, Negredo, Aguero, Balotelli, Zecco, Santa Cruz, Tevez, Adebayor, Joe, Benjani. And you look at that.
I remember Joe.
I do remember him because he pulled on an Everton shirt and I loved him very, very briefly.
Yeah.
But you try and ask yourself, how many of those guys have actually clinically scored for the team? And you see how hard it is to find a great striker in the Premier League. Even Lampard's goal threat appears to be wearing off, David.
Yeah, his mind's turning to the Trenton Thunder, Rog. He doesn't have his mind in the Premier League anymore.
He may be coming over sooner than...
Yeah, he could be. Could be here for the start of the season. Could be here for the Carolina Challenge Cup, Rog.
Because City chucked on those strikers. Yeah. The last pass, especially Jesus Navas, was really terrible. And Arsenal, it was an Arsenal we've not seen. They worked harder. They made better decisions. They were collectively cohesive. I love watching Alexis Sanchez in this game. I love watching him charge back to man the pumps defensively, David.
Oh, well, not on him. Rosicky, Rog. There was a moment in the second half where Rosicky came on as a substitute and he was charging all over the field, getting back on defence, you know, chasing down the ball. It just was a very, very different performance from Arsenal.
Well, I had a chat about Sanchez with a lifelong Arsenal supporting friend of mine, who you know too, Peter Mendelssohn.
Yeah.
And I asked him how much he's enjoying watching Alexis this season. And he kind of grabbed his chest reflexively as if he was having kind of severe indigestion.
Yeah.
And he said he finds the spectacle of watching him stomach churning because he spends the whole game, worrying that Alexis is going to be thinking that Arsenal aren't good enough for him, which I love.
That's such an Arsenal.
It's just like the predicament of an Arsenal fan, truly captured. But so is the meaty French forehead. Beautiful. Beautiful 2-0. That celebration in my private life. I'm a life model. Get out your charcoals, Manchester City, and paint me like a Matisse nude. Absolutely a stunning kind of Premier League moment of the season.
You know, and it's interesting. I predicted before the season, I thought Arsenal were the best team in the Premier League, and I thought they're going to win it all. You watch this performance, and you just do not understand how Arsenal are 13 points behind Chelsea. They play that kind of football. They look so good. And I think they're too far off the pace. I don't think they can get back into the race. I don't think they can get back into the race for first. They might be able to nip someone for second or third.
I'll tell you what else looks suddenly good.
Yeah.
Arsene Wenger's coat, the condom coat.
I know. It seemed to fit a little bit better.
How much cooler did he look in it when he was wearing the cologne of a victim?
Yeah, but he was also sitting next to his assistant who had his bare legs out.
Oh, his beautiful pair of pins. Yeah. Beautiful pair of English pins.
Yeah.
There was that beautiful shot, we talked about it on the show, of a glowing Arsene Wenger after the second goal on the bench with his coat pulling up and his thighs flashing to the world, a bit of Arsene Wenger upskirts.
Yeah.
It's a very, very erotic moment, David. A very, very erotic moment. But at soccer, 10K84 tweeted us and said, to be honest, the last 5 minutes of Green Bay Seattle was how Arsenal fans expected the last 10 minutes of the City game to go.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. Broad City are better than Manchester City. What was a bigger shock for you over this season? Tottenham winning 5-3 or Arsenal beating Manchester City in Manchester 2-0? Which is a bigger shock?
I think it's actually Tottenham beating Chelsea 5-3. And actually, I think an even bigger shock than that is seeing Arsenal, who this time last season were leading the Premier League, and they have a better team this year, and Arsenal are 13 points down on their form from last season. That's the biggest shock.
I think this was a bigger shock long-term, David, because the Spurs-Chelsea game to me just seemed like an absolute freak. But long-term, this one, I mean, Arsenal beating the reigning Premier League champions away from home, this is the first time they'd done it in 4,638 days. That's a lot. A lot of days. A massive win for Arsenal, an even bigger win for Chelsea fans, and perhaps for MLS, who maybe came Lampard sooner than they think. I'll say I'm genuinely thrilled for Arsenal fans. I think they've suffered so much repeatedly over an extended period of time. I mean, huge, huge defeats in massive games with Piers Morgan's tweets, the equivalent of vinegar poured into a seeping septic wound. We have to wait now, David. We have to wait 2 weeks till Arsenal play Aston Villa and then they play Spurs to see if this is a false dawn or a genuine moment in which something new and wonderful is happening under Arsene Wenger.
And remember, it's just like in the NBA, is a new player emerges like Coquelin and the other teams will start figuring out what his weaknesses are, how to go and play against him. He'll be in the game plan from now on. Teams will now figure out how to go and play that. They'll counter what Arsene is doing. It's not permanent. He isn't suddenly the answer to all of Arsenal's midfield problems because other teams will figure out how to go and play against him. He's not a dominant physical player. He's not like a Matic. He's not that sort of experienced international player that Makélélé was when he played in that role. And so he's going to have to do a lot more. He's going to have to continue to improve a lot in order to make that place his own in the Arsenal starting 11. Okay, Rog, Swansea 0, Chelsea 5. Certainly, until the Man City-Arsenal game, this was the performance of the weekend, Rog. Chelsea extend their lead at the top, thumping Swansea in a game every bit as brutal as the scoreline indicates. Oscar took advantage of an uncharacteristic Giffey Sigurdsson giveaway to put Chelsea up just 50 seconds in. The barrage continued with two goals from Diego Costa, another from Oscar, and Andre Shirley adding a fifth, stealing it, incidentally, right off Oscar's boot, preventing him from getting his own hat-trick.
Not much fun for the neutral, Oscar. Pretty well finishing the game in 50 seconds. Sloppy Sigurdsson pass, clinical finish. I think 48 seconds. It was like watching... That morning I'd watched Matthew McConaughey's audition tape for Dazed and Confused. Mm-hmm. And that Oscar finish was almost as effortless. And it got worse within 20 minutes.
Yeah.
No one in present-day football to me, David, scores mesmeric, kaleidoscopic goals like Chelsea. Oscar, Willian, Cesc combining to set up the proctologist, Diego Costa. It was like Chelsea have inherited the Barcelona gene.
Yeah. I mean, certainly their away form for Chelsea. They haven't had an away league win in 2 months. Their away form has been pretty poor this season, certainly compared to their 10 wins out of 10 games at home. But it's when Chelsea look in the mood, when they're dominating and pressing that high, when Matic is controlling the midfield and Terry, who is an underrated passer of the football, is pushing up high. It's just very, very difficult for any team to deal with Chelsea straight down the middle. Swansea are almost in a three-team mid-table with Newcastle and Stoke. But just watching a team taken apart at home like that, you just don't see very often. And Chelsea is probably the only team in the Premier League you could imagine doing that.
Yeah, I mean, the third goal, bit match-fixy. But the fourth, that Oscar spectacular. Chelsea striking with the ease of the comedian selected to roast Justin Bieber in this Comedy Central special forthcoming. You look at Oscar's stats, and this to me is Chelsea this season. 18 games, 6 goals, 7 assists. That's 13 goals or assists in 18 games. When you think of everything else he contributes on the field, all over the field, David, the hard-charging graft, those statistics are really astonishing.
Especially for a guy who isn't Chelsea's best player. So he's probably not even Chelsea's top 1, 2, maybe even a top 3 player. You look at your most valuable players on Chelsea, Diego Costa, Eden Hazard, Cesc Fabregas. So Oscar, your 4th rated player, there with 13 goals, basically scored or created. That's pretty incredible.
And then you throw Courtois in that mix when he's playing.
Yeah.
And you see your point is beautiful. I mean, the point you made also on the show was Mourinho's reaction.
Oh, Mourinho, just look, no one looked more unhappy than Mourinho. This could be the secret to Chelsea, that they're pushed so hard. There was a moment in the game in the first half when Oscar, who's having this incredible match, Oscar lets a pass go astray and it goes out for a throw. He turns around to the bench immediately, sheepishly, and apologises to Mourinho. Not to his fellow players. He apologises to Mourinho. The look that Mourinho gave him, it is the dirtiest look I've ever seen a Premier League manager give to a player. A look of disgust.
He's like a lead singer who doesn't like to share the limelight with his backup band. It's like James Brown berating his drummer when he misses a beat on Live on Stage. It's like the only person I can think of who gives those around him those kind of looks. It's what I imagine Ira Glass looking at the producers of Serial.
Yeah,
which he thought would be a nice little podcast, but it ended up completely and utterly
overshadowing this American life. I think there's an element of that.
He walks around the office with his Mourinho face on him.
No, but I think there is an element of Mourinho, which is like he wants to be the star, he wants to go and do it. But I think you've got to hand it to Mourinho. He's been very successful as a manager. And the relationship he has with his players, that these professionals who make millions and millions and millions of pounds a year still are concerned that they want to sit within his favour, that is a fairly incredible thing to do with these millionaires, tens of millionaires, in some cases hundreds of millionaires.
For Swansea, David.
Yeah.
It's possibly, I don't like to be hyperbolic.
Yeah.
The worst thing that's happened to the city since a Luftwaffe blitzed it in February 1941.
Yeah, close.
I mean, what now for Swansea? 12 years ago. It's a beautiful story. I'd love to make a film about them. They were ranked bottom of the entire Football League.
Yeah.
So their rise has
been
remarkable.
4 divisions down.
They're now in the post-Wilfred Bony Sale to City era. And I think we now need to see exactly what kind of team that they're going to be. And what kind of team are Chelsea, Davo?
Yeah.
Are they title winners? Before the game, your psyops of a manager said they're not favourites for the title, but were, quote, candidates. Candidates.
Yeah, well, look, Chelsea only have 3 points more than they had this time last season. Man City have 3 points less. In fact, this time last year, Arsenal were on top of the league, Rog.
So it's certainly far from over. And I think that Chelsea still play City at home. That game looms huge.
January the 31st, 12:30 p.m. Eastern time.
That's the next game in the Premier League for both teams.
We will watch that match in Phoenix.
But it's a that game takes on epic proportions. I think if Chelsea win that, they've got their eye on the finish line, but still not done. We saw before the holidays how quickly a 7-point, 8-point lead can disappear in the Premier League, and it can disappear again. But unlike last year, when there were three teams vying for that top position, there's only two. Chelsea only really have to distance themselves from City, and City are going to need Yaya back, and Yaya back quickly, and Aguero getting back into scoring form. If they're going to challenge Chelsea for the title.
Bigger Chelsea news. New York Post reports that Roman Abramovich... Do you see this, David?
No.
He spent $50 million buying up an entire Upper East Side block.
Pocket change.
75th Street.
Pocket change.
So he can have a New York base.
Yeah.
We may get him into the panic room yet, David.
That'd be brilliant. I'd love to meet Roman.
I'd love to have him here. What would you ask him?
What he'd like to drink and what he'd like to eat and what he'd like us to ask him.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, pretty much.
I'd like to try and encourage him to stop relying on crystals as deodorant.
Yeah.
Even though his are probably made by Baccarat, they're clearly not working.
Yeah.
That and also, how many people have you killed with your own hands?
Yeah, it's very bad.
Which I'll put on a card for you to ask him.
Deodorant, very bad for you, Rog. You shouldn't use it. It has terrible, huge amounts of aluminium in it.
Really?
Yeah.
I use Mani Pac deodorant, which he gave me. It's magic.
Very good. Wonderful.
Do you know your deodorant?
What?
Do you not wear deodorant?
No, I do wear deodorant, but I just know it's very...
It's very although French, regular readers, thing of you.
Regular readers of my World Cup column know that I do wear deodorant, but I forget to put it on almost every day. I just cannot remember to put on my deodorant. As you said, I'm a goldfish, and I forget things very, very easily. But yes, I do use deodorant, but I try to find ones without aluminium, Rog. Okay, QPR nil, Manchester United 2. United rebound from last week's home loss to Southampton with a utilitarian win at Loftus Road. Half-time sub Marouane Fellaini, your man, hit home in the 58th minute. And James Wilson, James Wilson, added a second in stoppage time to keep Louis van Gaal's men in the top four.
He's not my man.
Who? Marouane Fellaini?
Fellaini.
I always think of him being
I don't dream
man.
About him anymore.
You don't? Oh. No.
Do you know what I did dream about this week?
Do you know what you told me? Who was it?
Josie Altidore.
You had a big Josie Altidore dream.
I had the dream that you and I were in a party. I was in a pair of, I don't even know if they make them anymore, Mambo board shorts. They were lime green.
Yeah.
They were not good. I was really annoyed because you wanted to take a photo of me and Josie for social media about it.
I'm delighted you're wearing shorts because when I have dreams about you, you're nearly always completely naked.
They're really, well, that's true to life.
Yeah.
Your dreams are very realistic. Mine were in a pair of Mambo lime green board shorts. And I just can't. I wanted a private moment with Josie, who I think is a wonderful bloke. You kept trying to take social photos of us. And I just said to him when we had a moment, I said, how did you feel when you locked up your apartment where we lived in England? He actually lived in Newcastle for the last time, knowing you were flying back. I want to know exactly how that second felt.
And what did he say?
He told me it felt great. He told me it felt amazing.
We're going to have to get Josie on the pod to ask him actually what it was like.
Tell me he had no doubts. And you know what? I believed him.
Yeah. You know actually what I want? I want Josie on the pod and I want you wearing those lime green board shorts to interview him.
Horrible.
That would be really good. That would be excellent.
I normally wear like a tight, snug hammock. That's why I was embarrassed.
My favourite thing about this game, Rog, Louis van Gaal post-match press, we spoke about it on the show last night, called Queen's Park Rangers the Queen's Park Raisins.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Yeah.
It was a brilliant stroke of genius to defang your opponent with your wit.
Yeah.
Up there, the Queen's Park Raisins, Dave, is a team up there, with, for my mind, pound for pound, up there in terms of least menacing sports franchise names. US Santa Cruz Banana Slugs. I love them. Absolutely. That's probably one of my favourite college teams.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But I'm also very fond of the South Dakota School of Mines Hard Rockers.
Oh, yeah. It's good.
I think I could be their starting quarterback. So he did that great thing. It was very Mourinho-esque to mock them. Queen's Park Raisins. Do your impression of Louis van Gaal.
Queen's Park Raisins.
Yeah, just like that.
Yeah.
Say it again.
Queen's Park Raisins.
Three times.
Raisins.
Raisins. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. So that was genius. But his tactical selections, Davo. Honestly, he seems to be less inspired than John Kerry dispatching James Taylor to soothe France's diplomatic anger with You've Got a Friend.
Yeah.
I mean... James Taylor, don't get me wrong, he's as gilt-edged a croonster as Angel Di Maria is a fine footballer.
Yeah, love the man.
But he's as out of place at a Paris press conference as the Argentinian appears to be playing up front with Wayne Rooney plodding around behind him in midfield, David.
Yeah, and Phil Jones taking the corners, Rog. All as the crowd are chanting 4-4-2.
What do you wonder? Could I think about this game, David. I keep thinking, if you were an alien, dropped to Earth, and were told one of these teams contains many of the world's elite... I speak like that to an alien so that they understand me. Many of the world's elite attacking talents are in one team and the other is a relegation battling cellar dweller.
Yeah.
If you were that alien, Davo, would you know which team was which, or would you be too busy trying to hide your lizard tongue?
It would be close. The 100 delegates within my alien head, Rog, would probably vote only 52-48 for Manchester United. It would be close.
It's amazing. Football, this is what I've realised, watching Louis van Gaal, football's all about perception. You know when you're on a flight and the plane hits terrible turbulence?
Yeah.
Who'd you look at?
Look out the window.
You do?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I always find great reassurance in a plane that we're so high in the air and we've got these enormous long wings. And if you ever see a plane from the ground up in the air, the fact that it's flying seems so inevitable. Nothing seems to be bothering it. There's no way with all that air under its wings that it's ever going to, anything bad is ever going to happen.
Sound like my dad. Yeah, as I've said on the pod, he only dreams about flying and flying in the air. My mother only dreams about plummeting great.
Yeah. Who do you look? You look at the stewardesses.
Yeah. Stewards and stewardesses.
Yeah.
If they're like completely calmly going about the business, nothing to see here.
Yeah.
Or if they're like screaming holy crap and ripping a sick bag out of a baby's hand so they can upchuck in it, it's time to panic.
So how does that apply to Manchester United?
Well, I think David Moyes was just consistently running around with a sick bag in his hand when he was at Old Trafford. And Van Gaal is just consistently, he's got no idea whether the plane is going to stay up or whether it is going to crash.
But he's got just got huge confidence. That's so Dutch of him.
So Dutch.
So Dutch.
It's like if United is a house which is being renovated, you've got to ask yourself, which rooms has he actually completed?
Yeah.
Because if he's decorating all over the field, the forward partnership, the creativity in the midfield, the backline personnel, strip-coated, wallpapered and painted, none of those have been finished. Even the ensuite bathroom still looks like a building site.
Yeah. Well, Marouane and Fellaini saved Man United, Rog. That strike in the 58th minute. A goal that you've said he never scored for Everton, but it was a fantastic goal. There he came on as a substitute at half-time, celebrated with Adnan.
Called him Fellaini again in the post-match.
Van Gaal. Oh, they don't like the Belgians, Rog.
Yeah, so Fellaini bailed him out.
Yeah.
Muscle for creativity with that substitution. And he shifted to the back four with Di Maria playing deeper. And it happened to pay dividends almost instantly. But then you've still got the problem of Falcao.
Yeah.
Who finished the whole game with the aplomb of Diego Forlan. For all United fans who remember the Uruguayan's dire Old Trafford spell. Or Brandon Bostic, for those who don't. And that's it. Van Gaal, the local Zen master, I guess, is paying off that he's put his faith in. If you have inner peace, nobody can force you to be a slave to the outer reality. What we think, we become. I mean, you, Marouane Fellaini.
Fellaini.
But we've still got problems. Di Maria, ineffective up front. Picking Evans, surreal. Rooney in midfield is desperate. And Phil Jones, as you said.
Taking the corners.
Taking the corner is the work of a man who ingests LSD on industrial levels of quantity, David. Talking about LSD and industrial levels of quantity, QPR finished the game chanting Harry Redknapp's Blue and White Army.
Harry Redknapp's Blue and White Army. I love it. I love it. But you've got to love Harry. We need them to stay in the Premier League. We need Harry in the Premier League, Rog. The Queen, and also, because now they're the Queen's Park Raisins. Just think of the sponsorship opportunities, Rog. Okay, up to Newcastle. Newcastle 1, Southampton 2, Rog. The fairy tale continues. Dutch winger Aljero Elia scores twice, and Southampton stay perfect in 2015.
There is the sun.
Ronald Koeman's side are now just coming. 5 points behind second place Manchester City. Yes, Aljero Elia, named after 70s, 80s soul R&B crooner Al Jarreau.
Who none of you know, probably, young listeners, who once sang the theme tune to a show that already none of you know, which
Moonlighting,
is so massive.
Which Bruce Willis
so
is in.
Massive.
Bruce Willis was in, who none of you know, with Cybill Shepherd, who none of you know either.
Bruce Willis, who once had hair.
Yeah, which none of you know or care about.
And Cybill Shepherd was already...
Who was so hot.
No, she wasn't.
You know. She was.
She wasn't.
She was.
She already, when they shot her, they already had to use that hazy, gauzy focus, the soft focus.
I'd never
I love
a woman in soft focus, Rog.
God. Although I did think, by the way,
Sometimes I close my eyes like this and I look at you in slightly softer focus.
And I look like Cybill Shepherd in Moonlighting. I'll take that. I did think, by the way, Bruce Willis, as a formative influence in Moonlight, it's embarrassing to admit this because he's such a now, proper Although a lot of bald men love him. They love him and stay them because it's nice to see a bald man kicking ass. I never understand that.
Yeah.
I prefer to see a bald man just curled up in a corner crying.
I love Statham.
Listening to Tracy Chapman. But you like Statham.
I love Statham.
Will you go and see a movie just because that's Statham?
Yes.
God, that's bonkers.
Have done many times.
Must I?
Love Statham. Best days of my life. And by the way, I don't look like Jason Statham, but the best days of my life when people have said, you look a bit like Jason Statham. That by far the greatest thing that has ever happened to me about three or four times.
Yeah, I had an Irish woman come up to me at about 3 o'clock in the morning last week and go, you look just like George Clooney.
Yeah,
I said, love.
About a similar.
I said, lady, you are so hammered. It's unbelievable if you think I look like George Clooney.
George Clooney.
All I'm saying is you look about like Statham as I do, like George Clooney.
Clooney.
Statham. Willis.
Raining on my parade, Roger.
Moonlighting.
Just like
early Bruce Willis.
Has my back at
early
the
Bruce Willis. Show. No, I just wanted healing. Early Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Was a great influence to Bee's Bee, to Bear's Bear. It's an amazing character. I'm going to get those DVDs out and watch that whole show. But Al Jarreau Elliot.
I doubt it's held up, Rog. I was thinking, you know, the witty repartee, the banter.
Yeah.
I doubt it's held up.
It was revolutionary in its day. Don't watch it, people. But the I'll watch it for you and report back. But this was an amazing win.
Oh,
Al Jarreau Elliot.
I forgot about football.
Double goal scorer.
Yeah.
Empowering the Southampton romance to continue for another week after that grinding win against United.
Yeah.
This was a very tactically astute victory.
Yeah.
The midfield engine room, Schneiderlin and Wanyama, both out with injury. And they found a way to keep on going, which I think is deeply significant. The first goal by Al Jarreau went through Cool, not past him. Newcastle then got back on the most bizarre way. Florin Gardos kicked the ball against Gouffran, and the ball kind of bobbled in, but then Al Jarreau struck again with a wicked deflection. It was definitely a late penalty for Newcastle, a clear handball which wasn't given, so Newcastle could feel as hard done to as the producers of the Lego movie. But I think this is a bigger win for Southampton, Davo, than the one at Old Trafford.
Really? A tough place to win Newcastle's Chelsea. Found out before the holidays.
Well, they've not won there since 1997.
Yeah, it's a long way to go from Southampton to Newcastle.
They are 4-8-31.
Yeah,
at Newcastle all time. And to be able to go up there with hardly any of your first choice players and find a way to win. Swansea and QPR now await for the Saints in their next two league games. Koeman, when I got the question in pre-season, will you be third in the table after 22 games? I was laughing. But not now. I don't laugh.
They did a smart thing, though, Rog. They played in their yellow away kits, not in the red and white stripes, which were immediately neutralised by the black and white stripes of Newcastle. Stripe-on-stripe violence never goes well.
Didn't Koeman laugh when he has Queen Bog Raisins?
Yeah, I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does. Maybe everybody in Holland calls them Queen's Park Raisins. It's just a Dutch tick, Rog. Okay, Tottenham 2, Sunderland 1. An 88th-minute Christian Eriksen goal again keeps Spurs in the thick of the race for the top four. This is the third time this season Eriksen has scored a game winner with less than 2 minutes left. He should try harder for the rest of the game, Rog.
Tottenham, they dared to score early. Mm-hmm. And then they scored really, really late, 88th minute.
It's a good combination.
Sunderland had committed. Tottenham were wonderful in transition. Yeah. Andros Townsend ran that full length of the field. I think Eriksen, Davo, I can't think of a more quiet yet influential player in the Premier League that too few people are talking about.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful finish, a clinical side footer, so accurate the goalkeeper doesn't even bother to move. That's one of my favourite finishes.
Yeah, he's a James Ward-Prowse plus, Christian Eriksen.
Do you know how many of his goals have led to points? He's won 13 points for Tottenham with this guy. It's a league-leading statistic.
Eriksen Totspur, we should call them, Rod.
Oh, I like that, Dave. We'll have to speak to Van Gaal. Maybe he'll drop that bomb next time they play. Sunderland had their chances in this. But again, Hugo Lloris was absolutely magnificent. He became the first goalkeeper to shut out Jermaine Defoe Davo, who had scored on his debut for each of his five clubs so far. Not this time.
Created a goal, though, Rog. Went down on the edge of the box. Fouled, clearly. Sets up Larson for the sitter, Rog.
I do think it's funny reading all this stuff about his time in Toronto. The MLS reject Jermaine Defoe. He's told the English press he was bullied by Canadians. Is that even
not possible
in factual life to be bullied
By Canadians? Well, only the ones who play hockey.
Said he was homesick for his mother.
Yeah.
This is a man that used to follow dozens and dozens of strippers on Twitter when it started.
Yeah.
He managed to trot around in this game and show the crowd he still has sufficient speed to be caught offside whenever he feels like it. Sunderland are paying him, he's 32, $106,000 a week.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of money for a player who makes the Premier League seem like MLS's elephant graveyard, Davo. First game for Sunderland in the post-Josie Altidore era.
Yeah.
If you look on Twitter, many have hailed Josie as Sunderland's greatest player of all time.
Really?
Those people are known as Newcastle fans.
Very good. Villa 0, Liverpool 2. A pair of score sheet surprises, Rog. That's an understatement. Give Brendan Rodgers' men their fourth win in the last five league games. Fabio Barini scored his first goal of the season in the 24th minute. And Ricky Lambert, Rog, added a second in the 79th minute. Liverpool sit 5 points off the top four, Rog. I was saying to you earlier, I watched this game, I saved it up, watched it last night. Watching Liverpool is so confusing this season. It's every time you watch them, it's like watching an utterly different football team, often including many of the same players. But you're not watching the same team from one game to the next. And yet somehow, over the last, you know, series of games, they have just amassed a pretty good record. They haven't been beaten. They're doing very, very well.
Yeah, it's
all
the worst unbeaten spell I've ever seen form-wise.
Yeah.
Of any team, but they are racking up the points any which way. It's so funny what you talk about how they look different every game, because Brendan Rodgers, after the game, said his side have, quote, regained their identity.
Yeah.
They have the same. It's like Fletch regaining his identity. Yeah. Not sure if it's possible. In this game, though, they did work out how to beat Aston Villa, which is by scoring a goal, because Villa won't.
Yeah.
Five consecutive matches without a goal.
Yeah.
They are so flaccid. They've scored 11 goals this season, David.
Yeah.
Diego Costa, let me remind you, he has 17. Simple way to fix this team. Let's have a segment called Roger Fixes.
Yeah.
Just buy Adebayo Akinfenwa.
Yeah.
What a bloke.
Yeah.
A lot of you love the way he said, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
A lot of you like the way he said, professional is an amateur that won't give up. Mm-hmm. That sounds like something that our friend Barry Hearn would say.
Yeah,
I just loved it, and I've got it on repeat as when my wife calls me, my phone says, Rosh from Friends, he's a bad man. I love that. Love that bloke. Get him on the pitch. Give him a go. Because Liverpool had two-shot goal scorers. Barini, first goal for Liverpool in almost 2 years. And Ricky Lambert, who followed up his finish with a jaunting jump into the Liverpool faithful akin to the Lambeau leap.
Yeah, it was a very good goal, Ricky Lambert's goal. Oh, actually.
Fabulous finish. And Simon Mignolet, another player who's been on the outs, who looks good. His full name is the much maligned Mignolet. And Emre Can, resilient in front of the defence, Davo. 3 points from 21 for Villa. 2 wins in 18. 8 3/4 hours without a goal. I did like Ian Eyre, Liverpool's chief executive, who said, Gerrard could be loaned back to Liverpool. Because, quote, he is in our DNA. Backtracking a little bit.
Wow. How are MLS going to deal with players being in their former European club's DNA? That's really tough. That's going to confuse Don Garber.
I just wish the English Premier League would decide whether MLS is either its elephant graveyard or its lending library. Because I don't think it can be both.
It's going to be, well, you never know. MLS is very versatile as a league. Rog. Burnley 2, Palace 3, arguably the game of the weekend. Sheets of rain,
arguably.
No discernible desire by either team to keep possession. And yet, it was a cracker. Burnley jumped out to a 2-0 lead in the first 16 minutes before goals from Dwight Gale and Jason Puncheon drew Palace level. In the game's dying embers, Gale struck again to keep Alan Pardew, Sack Pardew's
100% Sack Pardew, call him by his proper name.
Intact.
Sack Rog. Pardew is rejuvenating that team by rejuvenating two blokes, Gale and Puncheon, both of whom, as we've talked for the past 2 weeks, have been completely rejuvenated. Poor Burnley. God, we love Burnley. They've shipped a two-goal home lead to Spurs. They did exactly the same against Palace. But what a day at Turf Moor, pummeled by snow. I just spent the whole game worrying about how many people would be renting minibuses from Dave Fishwick in that kind of weather, David.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, Rog. It's going to be tough for Dave Fishwick.
You know what, David?
Yeah.
One of my goals for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
I would like to get Dave Fishwick on this podcast.
Me too.
Himself.
That's one of my goals too, Rog.
He is a minibus entrepreneur in the Burnley region. He also refurbishes military vehicles, according to his website.
Yeah.
Sounds like our kind of bloke.
Totally, Rog. In other games, West Ham 3, Hull City 0. West Ham put 3 past a hapless Hull, and Big Sam bests Big Steve Bruce in a battle of managers who could not be more English, Rog.
Yeah.
Leicester 0, Stoke 1. Stoke quietly creep into the top half of the table thanks to a goal from pocket-sized Spaniard Boyhan.
He's the poor man's Alexis Sanchez.
And Everton, Rog, hate to bring this up, 0. West Brom 0.
Yeah.
You didn't enjoy that much yesterday afternoon.
Well, you pissed me off.
How?
We put the game on.
Yeah.
We were recording the show. It's really hectic.
Yeah.
And we had a minute after Lewis Hamilton left.
Yeah.
And we put the game on. And what happened?
This was my fault.
You did. You cursed us. As soon as we put the game on.
Everton won a penalty, they won, Rog.
And you said, look at the effect you've had on them.
Yeah.
And
you're the lucky charm, Rog.
I didn't say anything, but bile filled my throat, which I choked on, because I knew what was about to happen. Something dark.
You knew Morales was going to steal the ball and go and take the penalty.
No, but I ever turn the television on, something good happens to Everton, David.
Really?
But you were so chirpy and beautiful. Yeah. Look,
such a wonderful thing has happened.
And I was chilled to my bone at that second, because Kevin Morales...
Was it my fault then that Everton drew with West Brom?
No.
Okay.
No, it wasn't at all. More complicated forces at work, David. Only 30% your fault, so not dominant. But Kevin Morales decided to take his first ever penalty and miss it. When Leighton Baines, who scored 15 out of the 16, Opta did a great stat. I love Opta. Players called Kevin have only scored 25 of 40 penalties in the Premier League.
Yeah,
63%.
Not a good penalty-taking name.
No, terrible. 76%
is the average.
What
on earth is Leighton Baines doing, allowing him to go and take it? And what on earth is Phil Jagielka? Where is Phil Jagielka in that exchange?
Well, I think Naismith is the kind of dog, but gnashing dog in the locker room, and he did have words with Morales as he went out. Look, Morales, it's slightly complicated. Gary Neville jumped in and called it the most despicable breach of team etiquette you can possibly have. Slightly complicated for poor little Morales. Yes, he wants a new contract. Yes, he won't sign with Everton. Yes, he's kind of sniffing around other teams. So he may have been trying to showcase himself, Davo. But there's also talk that he wanted to honour the memory of Wolfsburg midfielder and Belgian youth international Junior Malanda, who died in a car crash aged just 20 and I think was buried today. And a lot of the Belgians have taken that very, very hard. So, I mean, Leighton Baines has got that kind of personality where he is a bit deferential, Davo. Yeah. He's a sweet, sweet man. And Naismith did go after him, according to the Liverpool-based journalist. There were serious words, which I guess were spoken with fists in the locker room at halftime.
Translucent fists, Rog.
And Roberto Martinez afterwards said, no big problem. You know, I like to see a player step up, if only he would have scored. Roberto Martinez taking a lot of flack from fans, especially when he took off cult hero Mo Besic in the second half. He's kind of like already become a Tommy Gravesen, kind of Tim Cahill, I will give up my kidney for the team kind of guy. I'll say I'm going over to Everton, Davo, which is probably the worst part of it. Next week, I'm going over to make a documentary about Roberto Martinez, about the art of management. Perfect timing by me.
Although, one could say, when you went over to Southampton, your arrival, it sort of precipitated a terrible losing streak for the team. Now we're seeing something different, which is, you know, I suppose it could get worse, but it seems unlikely. Maybe it'll go the other way, Rog. But maybe you don't want me to say anything positive. Because if I say something positive,
can I tell you how I'm feeling? I'm completely numb. I'm following the advice, and I don't do this often. I don't like Violet Crawley on Downton Abbey. But she said, you have to take control of your feelings before they take control of you this week. And I live by that. Tony Pulis, unbeaten. Team played in his image. They were stubborn. They were tough. They were indefatigable. They were frustrating. And Everton have now won one game without James McCarthy all season.
Mm-hmm.
Won 1, drawn 7, and lost 7. He is very much the key. It's very nerve-wracking, Davo. Now, being an Everton fan, last season was so amazing and sensational. Now we're looking at the Leicesters and the Burnleys, their results, to make sure that we're not relegated. And even worse, Davo, Sylvester Stallone decided to dress up in an Everton shirt.
This was ridiculous if you haven't seen it.
and appear on the big screen to give a message of self-promotional, come on, Everton, he's doing another Rocky movie with a Liverpool boxer. First Bieber, now Stallone, wearing an Everton jersey.
Yeah.
These things come in threes, Dave. Who's going to be next? Stop it, Everton. Chris Brown, Lindsay Lohan, Pol Pot. Don't do any of them. They're not good ideas. They're terrible ideas. Stop
John
it.
Terry. Yeah, don't do it. That would be your worst nightmare. Well, that's the Premier League action done for a little while, Rog. The narrative of the Premier League taking a break under England's grey skies. And we move to the warmer, sunnier climes of Southern California, where the US men's national team is preparing for their upcoming friendly in Chile, Rog.
Yeah, it's a very interesting time in Klinsmann's January camp.
Yeah.
Trying to work out who his centre-backs are, exactly where he's going to play Michael Bradley, who his playmaker can be if Michael Bradley drops back. Most of all, David, you kind of feel he just wants to get any kind of positive momentum or a symbol he can point to around this team that can grow, I guess, the fan base's confidence in this second phase of his leadership. Because the team, as you keep saying, they lack any real competition until the next World Cup.
Not internal competition, there's a lot of it, but the
Gold Cup and cares, you know.
And also, and I think as a result of that, the US men's national team, who had an epic 2014, did end the season with some rather disappointing results, where it's one of the first times we've seen in the modern era this team go over to Europe and get properly hammered, Rog, in a non-competitive
game. Most critically, I think, for Jurgen is to find some new kind of messaging now that all of his key players pretty well, 12 of his World Cup squad, play in MLS. He did say around the Josie move, you can't compare Josie with Mix or Mix with Michael Bradley. You know, they're all in different situations and at a different moment in their careers, but he's grappling with the tectonic plates of world football changing on him and his original message. It's going to be very interesting to see how he tweaks and fine-tunes.
Yeah, no, there used to be the thing, oh, this is just the MLS-based squad, the European players aren't there, but his MLS-based squad is increasingly becoming his strongest squad, Rog, and it's going to change the, as you said, the tectonic plates are shifting somewhat. OK, Rog, we're doing something a little bit different today. We're recording our pod interview in the panic room so we can make a digital video of it.
And we got Gerard Piqué.
Yeah, available on NBCSports.com later this week. The man behind us, Rog, is an actor, a writer, a comedian. He's appeared on hit shows Girls, Parks and Rec, and Late Night with Conan O'Brien. While he's used to top-of-the-table television, Rog, he was gracious enough to stop by TV's equivalent of Turf Moor to talk football with us. Ladies and gentlemen, John Glazer is here.
Let me ask you, John Glazer. Yeah. When did you first realise that you were funny? Because I've got a theory that, like, everybody know trading jokes, all kids trading jokes, until about the age of 13, where one after another, we all stop being funny. We kind of, as the rigours of life kick the crap out of us until there's very few left standing, and those few are able to ply their trading comedy. When did you realise you were a funny bloke?
I don't know. I mean, that's always hard to say without patting yourself on the back, I guess. But I guess I felt like, I remember ninth grade sleepaway camp I was doing at that age. And at that camp, they had this village where all the, and it was a co-ed village. You could do different things. You could do, it was called specialty. And you picked a specialty. You could do sports. You could do drama. You could do arts and crafts.
Yeah.
And I did sports because I liked playing sports. But then I kind of was doing some of the drama stuff and kind of like that. And then maybe leading into high school, I ended up quitting baseball to try out for a play because I wanted to try doing acting, and I knew I wanted to do comedy stuff. So somewhere in there, high school.
Do you laugh as much now as at the beginning of your career, or does the hardship of life and the fact that you're overexposed to humor just kick the crap out of it?
No, I still – listen, guys, I love to laugh. I really enjoy laughing. It's really one of my favorite things to do. I try to start the day with a laugh and end the day with a laugh and then go right to bed.
Oh, what a cuddly. Are you a Tottenham fan?
A lot of comedy writers, I know, my brother's a comedy writer, you're a writer and a performer, is they won't actually laugh at anything. They'll just say, that's funny, when they hear something funny. It's like almost as though they're analysing it rather than actually releasing themselves into it and enjoying it and laughing at it. Rog does that every now and then. He'll say, that's funny. He's more analytical than I am.
They can be, comedy people can be real snobby audiences and crowds.
So football. So you're not a Tottenham fan. So
not
how has football found you? It's through your son, through your nine-year-old son, football, soccer, has found you. It's found its way to you.
I'll say it's found me again because I played in high school.
Yeah.
And then played, you know, recreationally in college and then did Chelsea Piers here in New York.
Nice.
A lot of PlayStation soccer.
Yes.
And then my son just...
Who's your favorite team on the old E8?
I don't know. When I was a long time ago, I always liked playing Arsenal. They had it was when they had Bergkamp was on the cover.
Oh yeah,
that's dating myself.
Wow.
But I liked always liked to play
that's
Arsenal.
Late 90s.
Yeah, it was 98, 99.
Yeah,
yeah. That's and bad. Now we play. I have this hat because he loves Messi. All the kids at school love. They all got their Messi jerseys.
Yeah,
and he totally got into soccer, and he just really, really gravitated towards it. Really likes it a lot. Plays a lot. He's got a bunch of jerseys. He's got a Messi jersey. He just got a Neymar, neon yellow Barcelona jersey that came from Spain.
Nice.
From one of his grandparents. So we play a lot of Barcelona on PlayStation now.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good team.
What sort of creative outlets did you have when you were growing up? Because I read that you. Once in an interview, you said, I did a lot of stuff by myself. I would draw. My mum bought me notepads. I like making cartoon flip books. I made up a soccer league. I drew jerseys, made up names for the guys. I did stuff like that. Are you, John Glazer, suggesting that you invented MLS?
I won't take direct credit for it, but I would like to think that by doing the drawings and all that, it just put that energy out
it's
there.
It's like Al Gore on the internet, pretty much. Exactly. Very, very similar.
Can you tell us about these jerseys, these names, this league?
I'm trying to remember. I cannot remember any of the team's names. I vaguely remember the jerseys, and for whatever reason, I do remember the guy that I was drawing that was the star of the league. His name was, and this was made up from me, is John Bucknell.
Wow, he's good, John Bucknell. I remember him.
He was
a fantastic player.
Tons of goals in my fake
league.
It was
in the early days. He was like kind of a Freddie Adu-ish, kind of Gideon's LLM character.
Yeah,
a lot was expected
Then he had the drink problem.
Yeah. Rog. Yeah. Bad injury, drink problem. They went hand in hand.
Yeah, painkillers. Addiction
that was
to
the
painkillers.
That was the next
story. Oh, that
story
was after
I
he came back. Yeah.
Then I made another story about him, the hard times of John Bucknell.
He became Laird in Girls.
Oh, that's so good. Didn't you do something like that when you were a kid? I played Sabutio cricket. And I made up cricket teams for all the local towns around South London and made up players. I had, like, form. They had certain bowling styles, batting styles, kept all their statistics.
I had Sabutio
football.
And I would write match reports afterwards. It's a game where you play all the players. You flick them around the field. But I'd, like, criticise certain players in the match reports, even though it was my hand that flicked their plastic base and made
you
it happen.
Criticise them.
Is that, like, Stratomatic at all? Do you know that game, Stratomatic?
Yeah, that's the one that shakes,
flick
right?
It? No, that's the plug-in electric football where you set up the players.
That
and
always
it just
seemed
goes,
bizarre to me.
It's very. It just seems really unexciting.
And perhaps unsafe, I
and
might
maybe
suggest.
Yeah,
we were just jealous. We didn't have electric.
We didn't have electricity.
So we're just jealous of your American ways. If you could pick a five-a-side team made up of American comedians, past or present.
Oh, that's good.
Who would it be?
Wow.
Let me think. I'll try to be quick so there's not a lot of dead
air. Take your time. We love dead air.
I'm already thinking about mine. I'm thinking striker. So you can either go with a little striker who is like.
I've got Chris Rock up front. That's my fox
in the
box.
Yeah, that's interesting. Fox in the box. But you could go large. You could go Conan. You could go Conan. He's going to get up to the ball.
Crouchy.
How tall is Conan?
Ginger
he's
crouchy.
Like Crouchy.
Ginger Crouchy.
He's like 6'5", 6'4", Conan. It'd be tough to beat in the air.
I think he'd crumple.
No, I think he'd play quite well. It's actually quite athletic looking when you meet him in real
life. I've met him many times in real life. You'd do him.
Okay.
You'd do him.
Okay, what do you think?
I'm having like a brain jam where it's like trying to go to who is in the past. I mean, I guess I really loved Robin Williams when I was a kid. And you know, maybe not as much when I got older because he just wasn't as cool, but I still think he was.
Oh, I'd give you an amazing 80 minutes just running around wildly all over the field. He'd be a bit
He'd be sort of a midfield dynamo.
He'd be like Kyle Beckerman.
Yeah. Highly enjoyable, and by all accounts, an extremely great guy.
Yeah.
Chris Rock's really great.
I've got Andy Kaufman in central defense.
Andy Kaufman, for
definitely
sure.
Really
I think
why?
He's
what
in
qualities
there.
Does Andy Kaufman have in central defense?
I just think he's a genius. I just think his positioning is unbelievable. He just thinks about the game differently to everybody
he
else.
He sees the lanes that other people don't see.
Two passes ahead, for sure.
Yeah.
Man, I've got Lenny Bruce in my yaya role.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, Lenny Bruce. He's improvising all the time.
Albert Brooks, I'm going to put in there for sure.
Brooks.
Yeah. Albert Brooks.
Yeah.
No question about it.
John Anthony's brother.
Yeah. Who plays in goal for that team? Which comedian plays in goal?
Wow. Who's the stopper?
I don't have a goalkeeper. Play a radical formation without. I got to put Nick Kroll and Amy Fuller in there.
Yeah, you do. You'll be in trouble if you don't. Well, that's the five-a-side team made up, Rog.
No, they're one person.
They are. They're just one. Okay.
And then I tell you what else I put in.
Yeah.
I put in Ilana Glazer and Abby Jacobs.
Wow, nice.
Put them in as my Raheem Sterlings, my like young. I think I'll get a great 90 minutes out of them. They just do unbelievable stuff.
Yeah.
And hopefully they won't yan a shite.
Yeah.
Who would you have in goal?
I think you need someone good with his hands. I think you've got to forget about being cool right now. I think you've got to go Carrot Top or Gallagher. You need a prop comedian in goal. You need someone who's got good with their hands. And they're the only comedians I can think of good with their hands would be
John
a prop comedian.
John Candy in that.
Oh, see, that's the thing. I'm forgetting 100 people. All of SCTV would be my team.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, let's put John Candy in goal.
A bit too Canadian, though.
Unstoppable.
Yeah, a bit too Canadian.
You've just wrapped up season 7.
Yeah.
Parks and Rec. How does it feel to end the show after so long? Is it kind of psychologically, emotionally knackering, or is it more just like, wow, I now need kind of job security and another blockbuster piece of television?
Well, I was, you know, I did not have as big a role as all the main cast members, and I'm sure for them it was, and I just from talking to them all, really emotionally difficult. They've been doing it for so long, and even for me on a lesser scale, it was because I had done enough where it was at least emotionally invested and kind of hard to be done with it. And it was also just a really fun job. And then, yeah, now I got to get a new job. Yeah.
Councilman Jeremy Jan.
Love that show.
We moved to Pawnee. Do you remember why you moved to Pawnee?
Why Jeremy Jan moved to Pawnee?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite lines in the entire show. Because the two leading industries here are
Corn Syrup. What's that?
Corn syrup and rubber nipples. It's a dentistry jackpot.
Thank you so much. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you guys.
Good luck.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, Rog, back to the round table.
What an interesting human being.
Very interesting human being, Rog. Very interesting human being. And talking about interesting human beings, we've got our ravens, Rog. Our first raven comes from Vince Vetti.
Don't compare them to human beings. They're not nicer.
No, I mean the people who sent the ravens, Rog. Hi, Rog and Davo. When Landon Donovan comes out of retirement...
I meant the ravens are a lot nicer.
Landon Donovan win the Landon Donovan MVP trophy. More importantly, does this pave the way for the Carl Beckerman MLS Cup? One can dream. Very true.
Well earned. And what a lovely, noble move by the MLS to make their league's MVP trophy be named after their greatest player. I'd love it if Landon won the Landon Cup.
Yeah, that'd be excellent. That'd be excellent.
My favourite instance of third-person athleticism was when I first moved to the US. And I watched Ricky Henderson. He was playing in Chicago. And they were interviewing after a game. And he was waiting outside, I think it was Comiskey Park. He was doing an interview with journalists while he was waiting to be picked up by his driver. And in the middle of the interview, he loved talking about himself in the third person, like the Queen and Hitler. And he just suddenly, in the middle of an interview, he just shouted, "Ricky don't like it when Ricky's limo is late." It would be up there if Landon won the Landon Cup, in my estimation. But do you think he's going to come back, David?
How dare you compare the Queen to Hitler, Rog? do I think he's going to come back? No, I don't think he's going to come back.
You know, I think he might. There's two scenarios. He's telling you that. He's off on search of meaning.
Yeah.
Is what he kept saying to me when I was making the film with him.
What does that mean?
I think he thinks playing football was the opportunity cost of having a life of meaning. But he may find, in trying to find a life full of meaning, that football
it was
that
football.
Meaning.
That was meaning.
Like Wayne Rooney says, you know, yeah. I'm only really happy when I am playing football on that field. Mm-hmm. The other scenario B, is that Landon will stuff himself with donuts, which he couldn't eat as an athlete, and be John Candy sized by about June.
Yeah.
I know I'd definitely be doing the latter scenario.
Yeah, I think that'd be very, very true. Very, very true. Okay, the winner of the coveted Guinness Men in Blazers Poet, Philosopher, Saka, Scribe, Raven of the Week is Alexi Obtanio of Winnipeg, Rog.
Oh, Winnipeg.
I hope he wasn't one of the people bullying Jermaine Defoe, is all I can say, Rog.
Stop. Bullying Canadians.
Yeah, bullying Canadians.
Stop it. Stop it now.
Sebastian Giovenco, the miniature Italian striker, has signed for Toronto in an MLS. His 5-year contract with Toronto will earn him a basic salary of $7 million this season, with potential bonuses on top. 4 times what he earned in Italy. Can I just say that again? 4 times what he earned in Italy. More than Kaká, more than Beckham, more than Beckerman.
More than Beckerman. That's not
Italian
right.
Italian newspapers are suggesting he gave up his footballing soul in return for the most lucrative contract in Major League Soccer history.
Oh,
Is he any good? And why would MLS pay that much money? Yours, Alexi, not Lalas. Yeah, Giovenco. Seen him play a couple of times, Rog. I mean, I would say he's an effective striker, but he's not particularly gasp-inducing.
Well, it's funny. We should go back a step, because since we last podded, we knew Josie was coming back to MLS, as my dream prophesied. But he's since then sealed his move to Toronto FC, 5-year deal, reportedly in the $30 million range. Again, you're seeing there that the United States are overpaying for domestic talent from a marketing perspective. Josie wouldn't command that kind of money, I don't think, in Europe. He does back here because he allows Toronto to start to have marquee matchups, watching Michael Bradley and Josie Altidore play against Clint Dempsey or against Jermaine Jones. So just like in England, you pay more for homegrown talent on the transfer fee. America's doing the same. And there's part of that with Giovinco. I mean, the starting point is every tool needs a small. They don't come much smaller than Giovinco, La Formica, Atomica, the Atomic Ant. He's a tiny little man. He can play striker. He can play attacking midfield. He plays with sheer pace. It's like watching Gary Coleman from Different Strokes run very fast at elite defenders. It should be said, David, the funny thing about him, he is a second-tier European striker. I mean, he's like, you'd describe him, I think, as Europa League level. He's not a Kun Aguero, for those who watch the Premier League, or a Diego Costa. But he's still, I think, he's a massive, it's a massive significant signing for MLS. And this is why I think they paid top dollar, or overpaid, compared to what he'd pay if he was in Italy. Because he's quantifiably different than your Steven Gerrards or your Frank Lampards, who are coming here at the end of their career. Giovinco is still in his prime. I think he's 27. And I think they're paying top dollar because this is the next phase of MLS. Their hope is that this is, again, we talk about the tectonic plates. They are hoping that having him here will allow players of his caliber to start to look at MLS seriously as they do Europe right now. Give this league 10 years, and with a couple more players like Giovinco, the dam will burst and it really will become the force that we've been kind of projecting our wishes upon for so long.
So you like the signing?
I love the signing, David. I think MLS are saying, we have money, we will bring you over. To me, we talked last week about the English Premier League buying old players in the 1990s from Europe and then slowly buying better and better and better players. This, to me, is that rhythm beginning. It's the rhythm beginning. So the next...
Interesting he goes to Toronto, gets paired with Josie Altidore as well. As you said, smalls and talls.
Which you love, like ebony and ivory.
Always, Rog. Okay. Our EA contest, Roger. There's only 1 week left in our custom Stars and Stripes Xbox contest. We're looking for football-related songs for our February 5th live show. The song's going to be about anything you want. Just send us the lyrics. An operatic orchestra of Broadway singers will perform the winning song at our show. The winner will also receive a custom US Stars and Stripes Xbox created by our friends at EA Sports FIFA. There are only two in the world, Rog. A picture is on our website. The Men in Blazers custom edition has the legend, Courage, Dominate. Tweed.
We have had some unbelievable entries, David. Good. And there's just 7 more days, and the winner will be performed live on stage under the original arrangement of John Johnson, GFOP, and theatre producer, and slumming it with Men in Blazers.
Fantastic, Rog. Okay, slightly odd weekend, FA Cup in England, international break for many teams around the world. Your FA Cup weekend in England looks like this. Friday, Cambridge United versus Manchester United. I wonder what Cambridge will be. Will they be the Sultanas? Will they be the Dried Figs? Rog, we'll have to wait what Louis van Gaal calls them. That's 3 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. Saturday, Man City versus Middlesbrough. Lots of Chelsea interest in that Middlesbrough squad, Rog. Lots of players on loan. 10 a.m. on Fox Sports 1. And then Sunday, Brighton and Hove Albion versus the Arsenal. 11 a.m. on Fox Sports 2. There are many ways to connect to us. One is through our Amazon Emporium, which helps keep the show going anytime you go on Amazon. For items big or small, just click off the Emporium page, and Men in Blazers gets a tiny percentage that allows us to cover the cost of creating the show. What are you going to put in the Emporium this week, Rog?
A book.
Yes, you love putting books in the Emporium.
This one's a slightly odd one. Schottenfreude.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the magical Ben Schott of Schott's Miscellany fame.
Oh, I love that book.
The subtitle is German Words for the Human Condition.
Yeah.
And it's a short examination of the famous belief that the German language is sufficiently copious and productive to furnish native words for any idea that can be expressed at all. So
wow.
It's really just a beautiful, beautiful look into how words like Vernissage, Versuchung, the urge to test whether paint marked wet paint is really still wet, or Scheidung's Kreidig Chris Probeer, the distribution of friends after a divorce. I love that word, wow. Which I fully bastardized. And best of all, Schlager Shimki Eli, enjoying emotionally manipulative mass culture despite mm-hmm. knowing you were being manipulated. How those words came to be. It's beautiful.
Rog, you put in a book. I'm putting in some food, Rog. I think this might be the first time I've done this. Putting in some Wagyu. Been eating a lot of grass-fed beef recently. The Japanese Wagyu, really enjoy it. I've gone deep into Wagyu. I've moved to Wagyu, Rog. I'm putting in some Wagyu boneless strips. They're from the Chicago Steak Company. They are just excellent. It's expensive. It's not cheap, the Wagyu, but it's worth it. Cook it at home. You can cook it on any griddle, on any grill. Just fantastic, fantastic stuff.
Have you ever had gout?
No, I haven't, but I intend to get it, Rog.
What do they call that? The King's illness?
Yeah, I think they do. I don't exactly know what gout is. I know I had a relative once who had it.
I think it's like pornography. You know it when if you see it.
Yeah, very true.
I live a life in fear of gout, and I don't even know what it is, Dave.
And the Cossacks. The two seem to be related. Another way to connect to us, meninblazers.wikispaces.com/. That's a wonder of the modern world, Rog. www.meninblazers.com. That's our website. You can always connect to us through there. Sign up for our newsletter. On Twitter, at Embassy Davies, at Rog Bennett, at Men in Blazers. On Instagram, at Men in Blazers, and at Embassy_Davies for myself. Rog, yet to start his own Instagram account, but the world is watching.
No one wants
waiting.
To see photos of me crying.
Facebook, is that what you'd post? Seriously?
What?
That's what you'd
just
post.
Crying after Everton.
I'd love to see you posting pictures of you crying.
Just crying?
I'd love them. They'd be brilliant. That would be a worldwide social media meme, Rog.
That's sadistic.
That's so good. I'd enjoy it. You can like us on Facebook. We've got a subreddit, meninblazers.reddit.com. That's maintained by GFOP's Akshay, Calvin and Alex. And we now have got a Spotify account also, Rog. You can search men_in_blazers. It has our very first Men in Blazers mixtape, a collection of songs near and dear to us. You can always email us at meninblazers@gmail.com. You can always send your ravens to the crap part of Soho. Vendorpunk, Rog.
War pig.
Who wants to sex Mutombo?
Explosion.
Courage.
Creme de la crap.
Is that your analysis?
It's a tweed.
Abracado, rock on, mate.
Kung Fu fight in America.
Love you, Rog.
Love you, Davo.